speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, as we are closing out 2017 today, I trust that this past week, many if not all business owners have been involved in taking inventory. I remember working in the secular world, and the company of which I was employed by, at the close of each year, would take volunteers, and if they did not get enough volunteers, then they would draft certain ones to help with taking inventory. And I remember having worked at this company, doing the job of upholstery, is the great task that was involved in taking inventory. Not only did we have to count the frames and the cover and things of that nature that was left over, but we also had to go into the greater ends of the stock and to find out everything that was there. From every little piece, every little dowel pin, we had to have a very good estimate as to the number that was in a box. I remember even counting out a number of screws in a box and weighing those screws so that we would then be able to weigh the box and give an estimate as to the number of screws that was in the box. And we would have to climb high and stoop low in order to find everything that remained in inventory. Let me tell you, it was a task that was not something that was much sought after. And I said as I was beginning is that if they did not get enough volunteers and they had to draft people, and that's why they had to draft people, is because it was not something that people liked to do. But yet at the same time, it was a necessary task. Why? Well, to begin with, it allowed the company to determine by their payroll as well as their intake and everything that was left in inventory as to whether or not they made a profit for the year. But then in like figure, it allowed them, as they were looking to the new year, to determine everything that would have remained in stock, whether or not they would have had enough pieces, per se, to begin the new year, or if they were going to have to order an overabundance of stock as they were starting off the new year. But then in like figure, it allowed them to understand where they stood from a tax standpoint, what they were going to owe the government. You know, the government always has had and continues to have his or her hand out. But it then in like figure would have allowed them to realize maybe as to what adjustments needed to be made. Did we do this successful, or are there some things that we need to do different as we head into a new year? Friends, as important as it is for business owners to take inventory, as Christians, it is most important for us also to take an inventory of our lives. I tell you that not only standing before you as the preacher here, but I stress this because I believe that it is God-given. God wants us to inventory our lives and to see how we have done, how we are doing, and possibly how we can do in our service to Him. So today, I want to challenge each and every one of us to take an inventory of our lives, to measure our lives as we go through the lesson. But even beyond today, I want us to think about these things in the days coming up as we head out of this old year today and into the new year as to ways wherein that maybe we've been successful, but also ways that maybe we can have greater success in our lives individually in serving God, but also as a congregation of the Lord's church. To begin with, as we take an inventory of our life, I believe that it is important for us to take an inventory of things of the past. There are a number of people that we could turn to in the Bible to point to and to say, well, this person or that person took an inventory of their lives, and here are some lessons that we can glean from that. But today, for the sake of our lesson, I want us to think about the Apostle Paul, and specific to the context of the lesson, as to the things that are found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. In the context here, the Apostle Paul, in part, is inventorying his life. And he begins by looking at his past. And what Paul gathers from his past is he says that I have not yet attained. I have not yet perfected who it is that God expects me to be. And friends, Paul's not saying that he's not been trying, but rather Paul is being honest with himself as well as with the saints at Philippi and saying, you know, I've not reached the point of perfection or completeness in Christ. There are things that God expects of me, as Paul is portraying here before those at Philippi with this letter. There are things that God expects of me, and there are abilities that I have within myself that will allow me to do better for God in the future than where I am at this present time. And friends, today I trust that you and I can also align with what Paul is saying here. It's not saying that we've not tried. It's not saying that we've not had some accomplishments. But at the same time, God is saying, take an inventory of your life and understand that if we're honest with ourselves, we've not yet obtained. We've not yet arrived at completion. And therefore, as Paul said, I press on. We also must continue to press on. But in order for us to press on, we must inventory our past. And in looking at our past, I believe that it is imperative for us to look at everything of our life. In taking inventory with the company that I used to work for, we had to look at everything. I said to look high and low, to make sure that we hadn't missed anything in case they were audited and things of that nature. And we needed to make sure that we had covered every base, that we overturned every stone, if you would, and looked in those areas, and that we had an inventory of everything. And that is so true as it would relate to our lives. I was reading in preparation for the lesson this morning about a fortune teller's conversation with a frog. And the frog was inquiring of the fortune teller, can you tell me what my future holds? And the fortune teller has his little magical ball that he's looking into, and he says, I can see in your future that you're going to meet this beautiful young lady. And the frog says, tell me more. And the fortune teller, he says, in meeting this beautiful young lady, she's going to take a great interest in you. She's not going to be able to take her eyes off of you. And she thinks that much of what it is that you have and what it is that you represent. And the frog is filled with great excitement and he says, tell me, where are we? He says, she's looking down on you in biology class. And she was dissecting him. And friends, God wants us to dissect our lives. God wants us to take inventory of everything of our lives. And in doing so, I ask and I challenge each and every one of us today. Whenever it comes to your families and looking back over 2017, were you the father, the husband, the mother, the wife, or the son or daughter that you ought to have been, the sibling that God calls us to be in our families? Or are there some things that you made mistakes in 2017 that you want to go on towards perfection in 2018? When it comes to your membership here at East End, as a member of the Lord's Church, have you been the best leader that you possibly could be as an elder, as a preacher, as a deacon? Are there roles that God calls you to do and that you've been assigned to do in those areas that maybe you've not quite accomplished? And maybe you've let the ball down over here, over there. Are you the best member that you could possibly be? Or are there things that God requires you to do greater? And in looking at those things, friends, not only should we look at everything, it's important also for us to learn from the things of our past. I'm going to lay an old adage out here that I know that all of us have heard, but at the same time, how often do we really and truly think about it as it would relate to our relationship with God, as it deals with us being a Christian? That adage is that if we do not learn from our past, we are doomed to repeat the same mistakes. It's one thing to make a mistake, and then it's another to just keep on repeating it. Amen? We must learn from our mistakes in order to go on to perfection, in order for us to attain the type of relationship that God wants us to acquire with Him, in order for us to be the proper servant, Christian, that God calls us to be. We must learn from our mistakes. And think about the Apostle Paul. Paul made one mistake right after another, if you would. And in doing so, what Paul learned in the process of all this is that he needed to make changes to a life. And friends, we find that because he identified from time to time that he was an old wretched man and that he's not yet attained. And he says that I'm least of all the apostles, least of all those who have called. But friends, as you look to the close of Paul's life, Paul became a man who lived for the Lord, and the Lord lived in and through the Apostle Paul. And today, as I stand before you, I want to encourage all of us to also follow that same example, to learn from our mistakes, to learn from our past, that we might be able to be devoted to God, to leave certain things behind. In the company that I used to work for, we did evaluations at the close of the year as well to say what worked and what didn't work. And the things that didn't work, we didn't say, well, they didn't work, but let's try it again. We understood that those things that didn't work, those things that were not profitable, they had to be left back here and new things had to be implemented. And this morning I want to encourage all of us to take that inventory and to say, you know, those things didn't work. And if they didn't work, we can't carry them forward, because if we don't, if we carry them forward, we're doomed. We've got to leave them behind and to go on and not to allow these things to hinder us from doing what God expects us to do. But friends, also, not only is it important for us to take inventory of the past, we must take inventory of our current situation. Paul, in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." You see, Paul was looking to his current situation as well. And today I tell you that in looking to our current situation, we need to do what Paul understood he had to do, and that is to concentrate fully upon serving our God. I was reading also in preparation for the lesson this morning about a shipwrecked mariner who had been shipwrecked on an island for many, many years. He had been separated from civilization, separated from the rest of the world. And he had gotten used to that way of life, and for all intents and purposes, life on the island wasn't so bad. Until one day, he's looking off over the sea, and he sees this huge vessel. And he thought to himself, "Today am I going to be rescued?" Well, as he continued to watch the vessel out in the ocean, he began to see a smaller boat making its way towards the island, and finally, whenever it comes ashore, the man runs over with excitement, enthusiasm. He says, "You're going to rescue me." And the one gentleman in charge of the smaller vessel steps off and he says, "Before we do anything, the captain of the ship has sent newspapers that we want you to read as it relates to the world that you're coming back to. And in reading those, then you tell us if you still want to be rescued." Friends, the world has nothing for us in regard to our need to focus upon this world. Oh yes, we must live as citizens in this world and to be productive citizens during the time in which God allows us to be here. But at the same time, our concentration is not to be upon the world, but rather our concentration and 100% commitment must be upon serving our God. And as you evaluate, as you take inventory of your current situation in life, are you as concentrated on God as what God expects you to do? But friends, also, in this context, note what Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. You see, in order to fully concentrate upon God, we must forget about the things that are behind. You know why people keep sinning, don't you? It's because they keep thinking about sinning. And that's one thing I conclude anyway. You know why the drunk keeps on drinking, don't you? Because he can't get his mind off of the alcohol. You know why those who involve themselves in sexual sins keep on committing that sexual sins? Because their mind is saturated. And they're constantly concentrating on those things. And therefore, God calls each and every one of us to not look to the things of the world, but rather to look to the greater value that God has for us in life, and to look to His Word, and to look and to realize is that we have a greater thing that must captivate our vision, and to forget about those things that are behind. Because if we do not, we're just going to keep on doing it. And in forgetting it then, friends, God shows us is that we need to run with motivation for the prize that is before us. Paul says, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I find it interesting that here Paul says these things as he's pressing on. And pressing on means that he's giving diligent thought to it. He's making sure that his focus is proper. He's also making sure that he runs with great enthusiasm towards this upward call of this prize that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Some say that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know. I used to say that myself, but now I just say the Hebrews writer. There are some things that tell me that maybe Paul wrote it. There are some other things that say maybe he didn't. But if he did, I'm going to play it this way. If he did, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2, here's what he would be saying. He says, put sin behind you. And this is paraphrased. And he says, keep on running diligently towards the prize that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And friends, what a message that is, whether Paul wrote it or not, is that every one of us need to put the weight of sin behind us, because if we do not, it will drag us down. We'll keep on living a life that will separate us from God. But yet at the same time, in putting sin behind, we need to focus and to run with motivation, realizing that God has a prize, a great reward prepared for us in heaven someday. So this morning I ask, as you inventory your current situation, are you concentrated fully upon God? Are you doing what you possibly can to forget about the things of the past and to run with motivation towards the prize in Jesus Christ? You see, it's important for us to look at our current situation, to take inventory of where we are, because if not, we don't have a future. But yet at the same time, what God wants us to understand is that we need to look to the future as well, and to understand what He requires of us. In this context, Paul identifies that the call that he's been called with is not the calling of man. It's not a calling that his family's laid upon him. It's not a calling that the Sanhedrin said, Paul, here's what we expect of you to do. But rather, he realizes that this was a high calling from God that is in Jesus Christ. Friends, there is no greater calling than this, than to be called by God. And the calling of which you and I are called, it is the calling of God in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what is identified in regard to this calling in this context, as well as in the broader context of the New Testament Scripture? And that is that it is a holy calling to follow after our God. You see, Paul had a time when he had walked according to the calling of the world. And friends, that didn't work out for him. And Jesus revealed that to him on the road to Damascus. Is that you need to lay yourself aside, and you need to lay the ways of the world aside, and you need to live your life according to the will of God, according to the holiness of God. You need to live a life that is separated and sanctified in serving God. And that message is applicable to you and me today, is that we are called to follow God, who is holy, hagios, the Greek term, who is pure in all of His ways, who is righteous, just. And as our lives, as we look to the future, this is a requirement that God lays upon each and every one of us. Why is that? is because we have a heavenly calling for eternity. You know, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, Paul identifies in this context here is that in reality he realized that his true citizenship was not here in this world, but rather his citizenship is in heaven. And God wants all of us, as we inventory our lives, as we examine ourselves on a daily basis, to understand that while we live here, in reality, this is not our final dwelling. We have a calling to be in heaven someday. And while God wants that for us, friends, He gives us the choice to choose each day as to whether or not we will serve Him, and therefore where we shall stand before Him in the day of judgment. And this morning I ask, as you inventory your life, as you think about your relationship with God, this morning, are you leading the life that will lead you to God in eternity? Or are you living a life that is separated from God and that you will face eternal condemnation in the end? This morning, we want to encourage you and to invite you that if you're outside of Christ, if there are things that are amiss in your life as you think about where you stand and you want to be right with God, take the opportunity that God gives you today. If you need to be baptized, we will assist you until that very end. If you need to be restored, we will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the Lord's call, His invitation in any way, please come.